for members only, Golf Smarter number 328, published on April 10, 2012.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Stop topping the ball forever with Tony Manzoni.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Tony.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, and I'm so glad to have you back on the show. You are such a fan favorite, a listener favorite on Golf Smarter. I'm just so pleased that you've gotten such nice reaction from the Golf Smarter audience.
Well, I do appreciate that, Fred. And, you know, this is a labor of love for me.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure it is for you, too.
Oh, yeah.
We have a passion about golf and golf instruction. And, you know, I'm just trying to get something out there that helps people. It's not ego-based. I've done a lot of reading, and I believe every day that I listen to people teach, I learn something. And I'm just trying to get this down to where it's great for the consumer, that they can understand it and do it.
Well, that's what's so special about your teachings, is that you are able to communicate it in a fashion that the average golfer, the layperson understands what you're saying. It's not so technical, but it is concise. And I think that also is true to a testimony to how well your teams do at College of the Desert.
Yeah, we do have a great record, and we're off to a good start again. We're 4-0 in league play, and we played 3 invitationals, 1-2, and was second place in one. So we're off and running. We're going after our 24th consecutive year to win the conference, which is kind of crazy, but
yeah.
it is what it is. And you know, we have a new team every 2 years, so it's not like we have this dynasty that we're building here. But the weather certainly doesn't hurt. So we draw some nice young men, and so far we've been lucky to keep drawing them, and we're saying the right things, and they're producing.
Well, that's what's so interesting, is you say that these kids only play for 2 years. What age are your team members? What do they range from?
Well, I get them right out of high school, you know, 18, 19 years old. So they're all young men, and they all have a dream of you know, playing this game professionally. So we try to put them on that track. Obviously, they all can't make it. We show them the work ethic that's needed.
Okay, so I know that you don't have much of an issue talking about your age. How old are you again?
I'm 75.
You're 75, and you're dealing with 18 and 19-year-olds, which could easily be grandchildren or even great-grandchildren at some
places. They're really my – they become my children. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
And I love it. I really do. I learn from them in some ways. It keeps me from getting caught in the gap, you know, and staying – stagnant. So it's a win-win for both of us.
Well, and it goes back to what we were just speaking on, that your ability to communicate with 18 and 19-year-olds and clearly to have going on your 24th consecutive regional championship, you must be doing something to gain their respect, to not have attitude from these kids, because that's an age where they can really have a lot of attitude when they come in and tell you that, what do you know, old man? You know, it's, I'm just so impressed.
Well, you know, it's not easy at times. I'm not going to say that it's always simple. We get a few kids, but you know, as I tell all the boys on my team, I don't care if you're a +5, if you're a jerk and you want to stay a jerk, then you're not going to be part of my team. Because winning championships is important, but building character is much more important. And that's what I'm really here for. A lot of these young people haven't had a lot of parenting for whatever reason. And that's part of my responsibility as a golf coach, is to help them on that part of it. Because the majority of them are going to go on to work in the golf business or do something. And it's my responsibility to show them what they need to do to be successful. And, you know, that's just how it goes. And I love the kids. And you know, I learn a little bit. I mean, I'm not really crazy about their music, but they're not crazy about Frank Sinatra either. So, you know,
well, they have a lot to learn. You know,
that's right.
You know, I'll tell you something. I can almost guarantee you that it's going to be faster for them to appreciate Sinatra than it will be for you to appreciate their music. Because I know when my when my younger kid came out of college and started telling me about Frank Sinatra, he discovered Frank Sinatra and how cool he was. I'm like, oh my gosh, you're kidding. Really? That doesn't mean I have to listen. I don't have to listen to LL Cool J, do I?
That's funny.
Tupac, yeah, maybe.
But you know, the roots, definitely. Every, you know, when we were kids, we had our own little fashions and some of the things. And I try not to be too, you know, judgmental about some of the things they do. But some of the things I can see that it's a deterrent from them. People are going to misjudge them by wearing their pants down and all that sagging stuff.
Oh,
and, I don't want to jump on them being critical, pull your pants up, that kind of thing, because that just makes them resist more. So I try to explain to them, you know, what they're projecting and how that hurts them financially. And also, people draw conclusions about them that aren't true. And little by little by little, by chipping away and just trying to make sense without saying don't, it starts changing. And that's always for the better.
That's a nice approach.
I tell them you got two choices in life. You can be common or you can be special. And I really, really hope you choose special. And when you talk like that, their eyes open up a little bit, you know, so do their minds.
Well, that was a great piece of, that's a great golf tip right there. That for any parent and any teacher, that's a great piece of advice. Thank you very much. Well, as we dole out these congratulations, let me also throw out that the DVD, the Lost Fundamental DVD, has been created, published, and released, and it will be available on the Golf Smarter website. Thank you very much, as well as the lostfundamental.com. Talk to me about your new DVD, The Lost Fundamental, that supports the book, The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever.
Well, I was lucky enough to meet a young man by the name of Adrian Herta, and he really helped me put this together. When we're trying to do a DVD, it's really easy to talk too much and trying to get your point across. So we edited it down to where it's almost too simple. But that's the way I wanted it. And I think it's going to be very effective. If people watch it, you have to watch it a couple of times. The only downside to it, you realize how old I really am. I've got a young voice. But anyway, all kidding aside, I'm very happy with the DVD. It's just a reflection of the book. And for those of us that learn better by watching, I think it serves the purpose.
So tell me about where you start on the DVD. Well, how is the DVD different than the book?
Well, it's just visual. The concept is there. It's the same concept. But you see, I use three different age groups. And I'm teaching basically the same thing. You can see their flexibility issues are different. But again, what I primarily say is, look, this works for everybody, and this is an easy way to play the game, and you're not going to injure your back. That's the message. And I promise you that if you look at so many of the young players on tour, they're staying centered over that golf ball. They're not moving their head to the right anymore. And it's not something new. It's something that they're going back to. It's what Hogan did. It's what Nicklaus did. It's what Palmer did. It's what Trevino did. None of those guys swayed off the ball. And their careers lasted a long time. As we hit a certain age, it's really hard to move off the ball and back onto it while you're trying to hit that thing in the back of it. You know, it's really hard to do that. It's doable, but the older you get, it becomes impossible. So that's what my DVD is about. You can actually see the person doing this, and that's the proof of the pudding.
I noticed that as well, and I think that the thing that came across in our multiple conversations before, even that you have the pictures in the book, but you talk about the sway and how that's just deadly to your swing, right?
It's just, there's been some great players. Curtis Strange was a big swayer off the ball. There's some great players that were. But I don't think you can continue that, especially as you get into your senior years and so forth. I think it becomes almost impossible. Most of the people you see on the driving range, you see them hit off their right foot, and their body swings back. They're going in the opposite direction, and then they say, well, I guess I'm getting old and I can't hit anywhere. Well, you can't hit anywhere with your arms, but if you learn how to use your core properly and get your body in the right position relative to the ball at impact, you can hit it a lot farther than you think you can. And that's what I'm finding. That's the thing that I hear more than anything else, is I'm hitting it farther. And that's from people that are 50, 60, 70. They even got a guy 86 years old taking lessons from me, and he claims he's hitting it farther than he did when he was 20 years old. I'm not 20 years old, but 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, because he's hitting more square. That's the whole thing. You don't mishit it when you're on the ball. When you're moving back and forth, it's just so hard to catch it flush.
Yeah, I have a friend. I recently took a trip with my buddies. I talk about this every year. We go on this golf trip. And I noticed one of the things in looking at photographs of us at the end of the weekend, I have one friend who just, he has no distance. He has a really tough time hitting the ball farther than 150, 160 yards. And I noticed that not only is he, most of his weight is on his back foot, throughout the swing and definitely at the end of his swing, but he also does not, and help me on this one, he doesn't pivot his back foot at all. He's right-handed, so it's his right foot. But when he's done with the swing, not only is he leaning far back, but his right foot, his back foot, is still pointed to where the ball was teed up.
Sure. And as it must be, because if you put any weight at all on the right side and then try to turn your body left where it has to go, you get stuck. And I'll tell you, you put a lot of pressure on your lower back. So for the listeners out there that are doing that, just put all your weight on your left foot, lift your heel of your right foot off the ground so that you're just on the toe, barely weight there, and then just turn your chest and shoulders. You'll see that you can turn left quite a ways. Then if you put some weight on that right foot, try the same thing, you'll see that you'll stop midway. And that's where most people are. So they don't get the full force of the body driving through that golf ball. If you watch a good boxer, you know, it isn't an arm motion, it's a body motion. And everything, throwing a ball, whatever, the body has to be in position for the throw. It has to be in position for the punch. So if it's out of position, it's going to be a weak motion. And that's what this is all about. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. Ben Hogan discovered this, as have a lot of players. But the closer the center of gravity of the body is about 4 or 5 inches below the navel. The closer that center of gravity is during the backswing to the pivot leg, the faster you're going to pivot and the freer you're going to pivot. That's just a scientific fact. That's not Tony Manzoni's theory or anybody else's theory. That's just how it is. And Hogan was smart enough to discover this. In a book called Maximum Golf, with one of his students, John Schlee, he said, I find that the more I'm on the left side at the top of the swing, I can pivot my shoulders faster around my left axis, consequently hitting the ball farther. So Hogan made this statement a long time ago. It's just that there's so many people caught in this thing, well, isn't that reverse weight shift? No, it has nothing to do with reverse weight shift. Reverse weight shift is on the downswing where your body's going backwards towards the right foot. You can put all the weight you want on the left side at the top as long as you move forward with the second move. So, you know, when you try to hit a ball low, you're moving forward, and the club closes a little bit. Well, in a sense, we're just centering ourselves on the golf ball instead of putting our head behind the golf ball. And we make contact as we're turning through the ball. We're not making contact as we face the ball. We're making contact as our body has rotated towards the target. If you think about Annika Sorensen, she had one of the best moves I've ever seen except for Hogan, because she looked like she was looking at the target when she hit the ball. But that was just because she was moving through prior to impact, and that's where all that power came from.
Mm-hmm. At the very beginning of this answer, you mentioned lifting the heel of your right foot. Now, is that just as a test or in your setup?
As a test. But okay. One of the things that I do to ensure is I put my right foot, I kick my knee in, and I really feel my weight on the inside edge of my right foot. And as I coil, I try not to gather any more weight than that position. And then when my hip turns behind me, my shoulder turns behind me, I'm actually displacing weight more towards the left side. If I was in a cylinder and I turned my right shoulder, my weight would be going towards my left side. There's no question about that. I mean, no one could argue with that. And so what I'm doing is I'm bracing between the instep of the right foot and the instep of the left foot. So I'm braced there, but primarily the majority of my weight is left, okay, because that's where I have to have it at impact. So I'm just kind of cheating a little bit. I'm getting it over there sooner. See, now all I have to do is rotate hard, rotate around that axis, and the club head comes last, my body is first, and I get terrific compression on the ball. You know, for an old guy, I can still hit the ball out there pretty good, shockingly. And I'm certainly not a physical specimen, but I'm in the position to hit it as best with as much power that I have. And I think everybody out there probably hasn't reached that position unless they've read my book and been practicing. If they're in the middle of their stance or on that right side when they're hitting the golf ball, there's no way they're compressing the golf ball like they can.
And then, of course, there's the sweeping of the ball versus the compression of the ball, you know, or trying to lift the ball. That's the other thing I found that the same player did. Not only is he not turning, but he's, with all that weight going backwards, it looks as if he's trying to lift the ball. He's not letting the club do its job.
Well, with your weight going backwards, your arms can only go so far, and then they start going up. Mm-hmm. So, as I tell people, when you hit a ball fat or hit a ball thin, it's because you're behind the ball. That's the reason. I mean, you know, it shows itself in different forms, but you're behind the ball. When you're moving through the ball, the club is still, it's shallowing out. But when you stay way behind it, the club is going up. It has to go up because your center of your swing is a foot or two behind that golf ball. So the forward arc starts way too early. And that's why a lot of people can't get an iron in the air because they're too far behind the ball.
Oh, well, actually, now that we're going to continue, I know this friend is not listening to this, so I'm going to keep, and I'm not going to use his name, so I'm going to keep talking about this because I noticed so many things after talking with you so many times. I'm now looking at other people so differently than I had in the past because basically I wasn't looking at them. I was looking at their ball. But he tops the ball a lot. I mean, it's frequent that the ball is rolling off the tee. I mean, we get all excited when he hits the ball in the air. Whoa, great hit. Whether it goes right or left, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, you got it. You make great contact. You hit the ball in the air.
Well, there's two things that cause topping, I've always believed. When people say you looked up, that's just insanity because nobody's looking up. But if you tighten up prior to impact, where everything stops, then you tighten your hands and in anticipation of impact, your arms pull back, your muscles contract. So the club comes up a little bit. That's one way to top it. That's how most people, I always tell people, you top it because you tighten up, not look up. But
how can we notice? Because I notice that when he's about to hit the ball, even when he pulls his club back, his whole face just turns into as if he's trying to, how do I be kind about this?
Because he has a hit thought, and he's absolutely doing it perfect. He's telling his body that he's going to hit something. The body flexes up, getting ready for that blow. That's why everyone talks about swinging through the ball, swinging past the ball, using the ball as a point of reference to align the body, but not as a target. When you do that, your instincts are going to jump right in, and you're going to tighten up your hands, and you're going to do it. Now, some great players can purposely try to hit a little harder, but I promise you, we've all done this. We take one more club on a hole because we think, well, I'll hit an easy five instead of a six, and you blow it right over the green. Well, that's because you swung. You weren't trying to hit anything. You're swinging smooth. Mm-hmm. So you get maximum flexibility. You get maximum thrust. You get everything. Nothing's slowing down at impact. And when we top the ball, it's a decelerating move. That's why I say when you stay behind the golf ball, you're never going to get fairway woods up. I can tell you that. You forget about hitting the three wood in the air. It's just not going to happen. You've got to be moving through that golf ball so that club can shallow out and catch that ball a little bit on the down. If you're hanging back, it's that club's coming up too soon, and you're gonna hit the middle or top of the ball.
So for somebody who's been playing the game for 20, 30 years and has all these issues, it's not going to be very easy for them to make some changes into their swing, into their basic mechanics. And even if you did, after a lesson, he's going to forget it in 2 weeks if he doesn't.
I don't really teach swing so much as I teach the relationship of the body to the golf ball. If I can get your body at address in the right position, and if I can get you to move your, if you're right-handed, get your right side past that ball prior to impact or at impact, I don't care what your hands do. If they're somewhat connected to the body, they're going to react on their own. You can't purposely square the club with your hands. That's just crazy. I hear these guys say your wrist has to be flat at impact. That's because of momentum. You can't put them there. The club's moving 70, 80 miles an hour, depending on how strong you are. There's no way to do that. But if your body's in the right position, that will happen. In other words, if you're rotating through that golf ball, and that club has last, and your hands are going to be flat at impact. They're not going to be cupped. But once you stop that body, then the momentum of the arms going forward are going to cup the wrist. That's why that happens. It's just that people don't go through the ball. When you're hitting a golf ball, your mind has to be at position A, position B, and the ball's in the way of you going to those positions. If you target the golf ball, you're never going to get to position B, and consequently, you're going to cup your wrist. You're going to swing up prematurely. You're going to hang back. All those things are going to happen just because you didn't get through the ball. I mean, I have women that I teach, and I say, look, when you get to the top of the swing, all I want you to do is one thing: get past the ball with a turning motion. And they're always so shocked when they see they hit so much farther and hit the ball up in the air. But that's the core thing here. That has to happen no matter what you do with your hands. At the top of your swing, they can be cupped, flat. I don't care about that. It doesn't mean anything. Ben Hogan had a cupped wrist at the top. Tiger Woods has flat wrist at the top. Who cares? What matters is at the bottom. And the only way you're going to go through impact properly is that the big muscles have to be pulling the little muscles. Once the big muscles stop and the little muscles move forward, all hell breaks loose. Unless you're lucky and you time it, you know. And you hear more and more players talking about, I want to eliminate the timing action of the golf swing because it's just too much pressure out there. You can't get out there and be timing the rolling of your hands and things like that. And that's been taught for years. I mean, that's how I was taught to play. You can't do that now. Not if you're going to play at that level.
Mm-hmm. So after our third and last round of the weekend, around in the back nine, my friend was so frustrated. He said, what am I doing? What can I do? I keep, rolling the ball. And I'm like, are you asking me for advice? Cause I've kept my mouth shut all weekend. And all I said was try moving the ball back about an inch in your stance. Just move the ball back a little bit and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Because if you're continuing to hit the ball, that must mean that you're on your upswing a little too early. Because I didn't want to say, because you're leaning on your back foot, because you're getting no rotation, because in the middle of a round, that's not going to help, right?
There's no way to do that.
So I just said, just move the ball back an inch and see what happens. And his next three shots were the best shots of the weekend. And he kind of looked at me like, what? Where? What?
In essence, you moved his head more forward by moving the ball back. Mm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
By moving the ball back in the stance, the head position now is more forward of the ball than it was when the ball was forward. So in essence, you did kind of that.
Hmm. Interesting. And I didn't even know I did that.
Yeah, that's what you did.
I've read The Lost Fundamental.
Well, look, I'm certainly not a golf god, and there's a lot of great teachers out there, but I know that this concept is based in science, and I know that when the body's in the right position, you can get your best. Everybody has a best. Some of us are limited because we're not athletic. Some of us are weak, whatever. But everybody can play this game, and everybody can enjoy it, and everybody can get the ball up in the air. I've never had a lesson in the thousands and thousands of lessons that I've given. I've never had anyone not be able to get it in the air once they understand what they're supposed to be.
Right. Right. And what about is the hip rotation, you know, as we get older, we get into our late 50s, our 60s, and God bless you, in your 70s, the hip rotation, some people just don't have that kind of flexibility. I don't know what kind of workout regimen that you have, or if you're
doing
yoga.
Flexibility. I don't do any of that. I don't have any flexibility. But when my weight is on my left axis and I turn my chest left, my hips turn left. Everything works. When the center of my chest is to the right of my legs, like I was taught, take it back, put the sternum on top of the right leg, okay? So there's a leaning of the upper body back behind the lower body. Then the legs have to go forward because the left hip has to align itself to the outside of the left foot at impact. So there's that little sliding move that you had to make. But with this concept, what you're doing, as you're coiling, as you're turning in your backswing, you're actually getting to that position where you align that hip leg thing, okay? So now you have a forward axis. Now all you do is turn the top around the axis. The lower body works right with it. When you throw a ball, did you ever think about shifting your legs or moving anything? I mean, your top part's connected to the lower part, but if you tilt your top part over to the right, of course the lower part has to go forward to bring the top part back. But when you're more centered to the ball, I hate to use this word stacked, but you're stacked on top of each other. So if you turn the top, the lower part turns too, as long as there isn't weight on the right foot. And again, for the listeners, just stand up, put primarily most of your weight on your right foot, and just take your left shoulder and turn it as left as you can. And you'll see that your hips and belly turn with it. So you don't have to worry about hip rotation. See, and that's one of the beautiful things about this is that you can control. And in my video, I show you that when you're at the top of that position, all you have to do is just clear your chest. Everything else will turn with it. So you don't have to get your legs out ahead of the, you know, like I said, legs first, then top. No, you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. So we're eliminating all these little timing things that we had to do.
I have so many more questions, but we don't have time today because I want to talk to you.
I'm sure there's some golf pros out there that are saying that guy's nuts. But all I ask you to do is try it. Okay.
Well, you're not nuts. I came out there last year with a friend of mine, and you spent an hour with him. And the video is up on YouTube. It's on the Golf Smarter TV channel of your. You know, the highlights of the lesson that you gave my friend Neil. And I'm telling you, ever since that lesson, he has been a maniac on the golf course. He says that he continues to do what you taught him in less than an hour, and his game has just gotten so much better. He's so much more confident. So, yeah, you may be out of your mind, but it works.
Well, yeah, everyone says that anyway. But I think that... I think that this is just an easier way to play. It's not the only way to play. You can be a hand player. You can fan that club open and close it on the downswing if you choose. You can sway all your way to the right and try to get it all going back to the left. You can do that too. It's been done. I only say that I say this confidently. This is an easier way to do it.
Well, next time we get together, I want to talk about your tempo and your swing rhythm, and I want to talk about ball flight. We've never really talked about ball flight. I'd like to get your theories and ideas on that. But also, my friends and I, you know, we travel every year, and you and I talked about this beforehand, but I'm going to throw this out here right now. So we're talking about coming down to the Palm Springs area next April, 2013, and I want you to put on your calendar right now, the morning of April 6th, Saturday morning. I'm hoping that you're available, that you can meet with me and my three buddies, and I'm going to throw this out here to the Golf Smarter audience. If you want to be – Tony, do you do clinics?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Monday, Saturday morning, April 6, 2013, if you have any interest in joining Tony Manzoni and myself on a one, maybe two-hour clinic, a Golf Smarter clinic – one-on-one with Tony, You start sending me emails. You let me know if your calendar, I'm giving you a year to think about this, right? I'm not going to keep mentioning it. I'm just going to throw it out here this one time. And maybe Tony will get something together and bring a group of people instead of just my foursome.
That would be great fun. It really would be. It would be great fun.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. Because I know that some people, some Golf Smarter listeners have traveled across the United States to come and have one-on-one sessions with you.
Yes, they have. I've had a ton of them, and you know, as far away as New York. And there's one fellow in France that said he's coming down. I'm waiting.
And he's a Golf Smarter listener?
He's a Golf Smarter listener.
Wow. In France? How cool is
in
that?
In France.
I love these podcasts.
Well, you know, when I first did the first interview with you, I thought this was a Southern Cal kind of a deal. And I had no idea that you were worldwide. And I started getting emails from people from Switzerland. And I heard of the Golf Smarter, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, what in the heck?
Well, so, yeah. You know, you were thinking radio when the first time we talked. And I think it was about the Shot Watch, right? It was Shot Watch.
Yeah. It was about Shot Watch. That's exactly right. So I had no idea, you know, how important what you're doing is. I mean, it's fantastic, really.
I don't know about important. I'm just saying that.
No, it is important.
No, we have a far reach because we're on the internet. You know, it's a global idea. I don't know if it's important, but what you're saying is important. Oh. I'm just giving you the soapbox.
Well, I mean, you give fellows like me that have something to say about the golf swing, you know, whether you agree or not, at least it's an opinion that's out there and it gets people thinking. And how would I do that if it wasn't for your company, you know? I'm certainly not a household name in golf. I mean, I am.
You should be.
I am a family, but.
And we don't want to hear what they say about you at home. All right, so let's let everybody know now. Please come to golfsmarter.com and pick up, if you haven't already picked up Tony's book, The Lost Fundamental, One Simple Move, Better Golf Forever. You're one of the few who have not in the Golf Smarter audience. The book is only $20 and plus shipping. Now, we have to mention there are different shipping fees for overseas, for Canada, and for the United States. I think United States is like $5 or something. So the book is $20. Now, the DVD is available. Again, it's only available at golfsmarter.com or at thelostfundamental.com. But, you know, it's also, lets Tony know where they're hearing about it when you buy it from us. And the DVD is, well, you say $29.95, $30 plus the shipping. And the shipping comes from Tony, not from me, but I just help him handle all the orders, and it's an easier way to come. So please come to golfsmarter.com and go into the Golfer's Mart there and pick up one or both of Tony's latest contributions to your game improvement, The Lost Fundamental. Tony Manzoni, you are a hero, my friend. I really enjoy talking to you, and you are coming back soon, right? We're not sure. You may be back next episode or 2 weeks, but we can't record anything today but because our schedules won't allow. But we will get you back on very soon because I still have more questions.
Sounds great to me,
Tony.
And thank you so much for the opportunity to tell you what my theories are about the golf swing.
Well, this past weekend was the Masters. Not something that I generally talk about because, you know, everyone else is covering. But there are three shots that will be an integral part of the legend of Sundays at Augusta. Ushuizen's double eagle, Bubba's miraculous shot out of the woods on the final playoff hole that basically won the tournament, and Mickelson's triple bogey on the par 3 number 4. So that's, you know, I think we can all agree that Phil doesn't listen to Golf Smarter. But please, Phil, take the ball back to the tee box and put it on the green from there. Now you're lying 3 with a chance for bogey. One of my all-time favorite quotes, which actually came from a Golf Smarter listener, is never follow a bad shot with a stupid shot. Hitting from the weeds, right-handed, with your club upside down, that is a stupid shot. What do you think? Let me know by clicking on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. delivering sound advice.